Good evening, everyone. I'm glad to see all those that can make it out for tonight. This is not an overly long lesson, so I won't keep you here long tonight. But before I get into the lesson, I wanted to show you my creation slide for this evening. And really, this is just some comparison photos that I think are pretty amazing when you look at the drastic changes in these photos. So basically, I have several pictures I'm going to show you. They're just of planets in our solar system. But the comparison between these photos is that I chose a very old image compared to a very recent and/or current image. And it just really shows you how drastic these changes in the quality of these photos are. And I think some of them are just amazing to see. So, for this first comparison, as you can see this picture on the right, I'll read the description on the bottom. I don't know how well you can see it. It says, as seen by the Hubble Type Space Telescope from Earth, a distance of 4.78 billion kilometers, which was back in 2001 to 2002. And as you can tell from that image on the right, it is not very good quality. You can't really make out anything besides a blur. And then you have the picture on the left, which is a more recent picture. That was taken in 2015 from the New Horizons, and it's just a much clearer, much more pleasant to look at photo of Pluto. And I have another more recent photo. This one is also of Pluto. And I think this one is pretty as well. And I think this one, I didn't write it down, but I think it was taken in 2019 or 2020, one of those 2 years. So, a little quick fact about Pluto. Pluto was demoted from its status as a planet all the way back in 2006. And I just thought that was kind of crazy to me that it's already been almost 20 years since that happened. Because I remember learning about that back in elementary school. So, think that it's almost 20 years since that happened has been kind of crazy. Our next comparison, when you first look at this picture, you might think it looks like the moon, and I agree, it does look like the moon, but this picture is actually a old picture of the planet Mercury, closest planet to the sun. This is the old picture of the planet Mercury, and this is by far my favorite picture in this slide. This is now a current picture of Mercury. Obviously, it is very bright, very beautiful colors. They obviously have some sort of lens. They're taking these photos through, I don't know all the specifics, but it's not just your normal iPhone camera taking a picture of this planet. It is a very powerful, very amazing camera that took this picture. A quick fact about Mercury is that Mercury is one of the five classical planets that is visible from Earth with the human eye. If you don't really know what you're doing or don't really know what you're looking for, it would be kind of hard to distinguish Mercury from a regular old star. But if you know where to look and when to look and what to look for, you can tell where Mercury is out in our solar system. And our last comparison is, this is an old, very old photo. This picture was taken in 1950. And so if you look at this picture long enough, you can probably figure out what planet this is by that big red little circle in the middle. That is the red storm clouds of Jupiter. So as I said before, this picture was taken in 1950. And then in 2020, we have this picture of Jupiter. Now obviously it's a different angle. And once again, it has some sort of lens that gives it that a very bright and vibrant color so you can see those colors out in space. But a very drastic change from that earlier picture. A little fun fact about Jupiter is it is the fourth brightest planet in our solar system. It's coming behind the Sun, our Moon, and Venus. The Sun, obviously, is bright because it's the central star in our solar system. And then the Moon and Venus get their brightness from light reflecting off from the Sun. And then Jupiter comes in fourth place as the fourth brightest planet in our solar system. So obviously, as time goes on and technology advances, these quality upgrades are expected to happen. But one thing that I just think is amazing is that these planets, these amazing views to look at, they've always been out there. We might not have been able to see their great beauty until as of a couple years ago. You know, we might not have been able to see the quality of these images until very recently. But that doesn't change the fact that they've always been out there. They've always been floating around in their own space, in space. There's a country song by Rodney Atkins. The song is titled Caught Up in the Country, but there's a line in the song that goes, look at them stars, there must be a billion of them, all just doing their thing, why would God do it? And I think think there might be more than a billion stars out there, but I do agree with the fact that all these planets, all these things out in space, we might not be able to appreciate their true beauty until recently, but they've all been there just doing their thing, right, where God put them ever since God put them there. So, with that out of the way, moving on to our lesson this evening. I mentioned earlier it wasn't a long one, but this whole month we've been looking at the chapter in the book, 1 John chapter 5. And one thing that has been a pretty common theme throughout this book and throughout this chapter is the ideas of truth and love. And as we have discussed throughout this whole month, there's kind of been, in the religious world today, a little ongoing battle between these two ideas. And this battle is causing some serious trouble in different congregations throughout the world. As we have talked about this month, when you look at these two ideas, truth and love, when you look at them as two extremes, two opposing sides of a force, you get these ideas known as legalism and liberalism, something we've talked about this past month. Legalism, where you focus on the law, the truth, the law, that's what you focus on, and you don't really think about the love. Then on the flip side of that, you have liberalism, where everything is about love. You focus on love, but you think less and focus less about the law, about the truth, about the aspect. When researching this topic, I came across an article that kind of defined these two opposing sides, and I like what it came, what it says. It says, liberalism is religion that maximizes love and minimizes law. Legalism majors in law and tends to minor in love. So you get the idea this is something we've talked about in the past. And I know Dad mentioned a week or so ago that a few of the churches throughout the world are actually splitting up because they're having such drastic problems determining what to do if they need to go on this path of legalism versus the path of liberalism, the truth versus this love. And so obviously, this is a very serious conflict, and this is bringing about some very serious questions in the religious world today. And so that begs the question, truth and love. Which is more important? Which one do you go for when you're making decisions in the religious world today? And so that is kind of what sparked my idea for this lesson as I was researching kind of like the study board. I came across a very interesting article that answered this question, truth versus love, which is more important? And so that'll be the topic of today, truth and love, truth versus love, which is more important, and which one should we choose when deciding how to resolve conflicts and go about making decisions in the religious world today. And so, before we dive into that answer as to which one we should do, we need to look at our two options, truth and love. What does the Bible say about truth? What does the Bible say about love? And now, these are both topics that are not foreign to us at all. We've all heard many lessons, several of which we've heard in the past month. I myself have given two separate lessons, one about truth and one about love, so these are not foreign concepts to us. We understand the difference between these two. But, then again, what does the Bible say about truth? As we all know, God's Word, the Bible, that is the truth. I came across one phrase when studying for this lesson that I really liked, and I like its concept. It says, God is the author, the governor, and the judge of truth. And I really like that phrase. God is the author of truth. Because, really, I mean, He wrote it. The Bible is the truth, and the Bible comes from God. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible is from God. The Word of God is from God. He is the author or the creator of truth. But not only that, God is also the governor and the judge of truth. I think back to that billboard sign. I know I mentioned this in a lesson previously, but there's a billboard sign in San Angelo on a Knickerbocker. And on that sign, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but it goes something along the lines of, God said it, I agree. But the I agree is locked out. And then it says it again. God said it, that settles it. Because at the end of the day, we all have our own opinions. We all can think what we think about whatever it is we're thinking about. But when God says something, when God says to do something, when God says something is so, and that settles it. That's it. It's the end of the discussion. Because God is the author, He's the governor, and He's the judge of truth. John 17, verse 17. The Bible reads, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Another verse that has a very similar message is Psalms 119, verses 160. There the Bible reads, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." And so, this idea of truth, what is truth? It is not something that is foreign to us, and something that we have all heard about, and we all know that the Bible is truth. God's word is truth. So that's kind of one end of this spectrum of this conflict. What about the other end? What about love? What does the Bible say about love? As we've been taught, there are many different kinds and different types of love. There is agape love. There's some different types of love in the Bible, include agape love, eros love, storge love, and phileo love. And as we've known, this agape love, well, that's God's love. That's God's love for man. That's God's love for us. And as I think we can all agree, there is no greater love than that. I can't remember when, but I gave a lesson sometime that I think, I can't remember exactly the title, I should have looked this up before, but it was something along the lines of God is greater than, and you can kind of fill in that blank with whatever you want to put there. And I talked about how there is no greater love than the love that God has for us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God so loved the world, he so loved all of us, that he sent his only Son to the cross so that he would die for the remission of our sins. The greatest love story there ever was. That's the greatest love story that was ever told. There is no greater example of love than the love that God has for us. That is that agape love. That is the love relationship between God and man. And then every other type of love in the Bible is love that is between a person and a person. Agape love is between God and man. These other types of love are man to man. So, now that we've kind of just discussed that there are different types of love, we're also told that, obviously, God loves us, but we are told and commanded in the Bible to love one another. John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, the Bible reads, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will you know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I think it's very plain to see and plain to hear that we are commanded to love one another. The Bible says to love each other and love your neighbor as yourself. Another verse that has a similar message is Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verses 32. "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." We're supposed to be loving, gentle, easy-hearted, not quick to anger with somebody. I notice some people are very hard to deal with. We all have those certain situations. We might not have had our best day, but it's not our place, and it's not right for us to be quick to anger, quick to judge, quick to release all these emotions, what we are supposed to be, as the Bible commanded. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave us. And so countless times throughout the Bible, we are told to worship and to follow the truth. And countless times throughout the Bible, we're also told to love one another. Like I said before, this is nothing new, nothing that we haven't all heard before in the past. But now that we've looked at kind of the backstory and the intro to these two opposing sides, love and truth, then now it comes to the question, which one is more important, love or truth? Which one do you go with when trying to resolve conflict in the church? And to answer that question, I don't think you choose. I think this is more of a rhetorical question. The article that I found when researching this topic agreed with me on this, that this idea of choosing between truth and love, legalism, liberalism, this two opposite ends of the spectrum, two guys, I thought of the analogy of two guys pulling on a tug of war to see who can win. That is not how we should view this discussion of love versus truth. These two ideas should not be seen as two opposing ends of the spectrum. These ideas should not be seen as two opposing sides that are trying to outdo each other. But instead, these two ideas of truth and love, they should coincide with one another. Because in order to have true truth, you have to have love. In order to have true love, you must have truth. There's a balance between all of those things. Another article I came across that described the relationship between love and truth described it as love shapes how to speak the truth, and truth shapes how to show love. I'll repeat that because it's a kind of jumble of words. Love shapes how to speak the truth, and truth shapes how to show love. They coincide with one another. You can't have one without the other. In order to properly have truth and to properly have love, they have to coincide and exist together. And we were in Ephesians 4 earlier, skipping, going back a couple of verses, the verse 15, the Bible reads, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." We must speak. We must speak the truth in love. 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 and 25 reads, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth." Love shapes how we speak to one another, and love shapes how we speak the truth in our lives today. And then finally, my last verse of the night is a verse that we have covered, kind of the topic point of our discussion this month, is 1 John 5, verse 2. "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. The truth shows you how to love." Love and truth, they should not be seen as these two opposing sides, but instead should coincide with one another. And they ask that question, well, which is more important? Which one do I go for? Do I choose the legalism side of things when looking at a problem and trying to solve it? Or do I look at the liberalism side? Do I try to follow the law to a T, exactly how it says, with no room for anything else, no room for love? Or do I follow that on the liberalism side with love, and I focus on love, and I, you know, kind of push the law, push the truth away, and focus on making people happy, and focus on love rather than the truth? But I don't think that's how we go about this question. I don't think that's how we should go about resolving these questions. But instead, that these two ideas, truth and love, that they need to coincide, they need to exist together, because you can't have one without the other. When you try to use these two opposing sides, when you look at these as two opposing sides, that is when you start to fall into those extreme sides, the two sides playing tug-of-war, trying to win, see who wins. That's not how we should look at this. But instead, as I said before, do them together. Think of these as one concept, one idea, all tied together and into one. So, if we do as we're commanded in the Bible tells us to love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the love side of this command. And then the Bible also tells us that if we love God, we'll keep his commandments. We keep his commandments and we follow the truth. Love and truth, they go together. And if you look at these two things as coinciding concepts that need to go together, I think you'll be all right. But when you look at these as two opposing ends of a spectrum, that it's either or, you have to have one, you can't have the other, that's when you find yourself in some trouble. But as I said before, it is not a very long lesson. I told you I would not be here long tonight. But that is all I have for this time. I hope something I said was beneficial. But now we can stand and sing a song of it.